Hooray, it's Monday, oh. There's nothing so groovy as Monday. Hooray, it's Monday. And now a whole week of trial and tribulation and travail is now stretching out before us like a rocky road filled with potholes. But nothing like Monday, I think. Hello, potholes. Tonight's program is a salute to Hockey Dildoc. Wherever he is out there tonight, listening hard, wearing a satin jacket that says Hackensack AC on it. Yes, we thought we'd warn you before we got going tonight. It is definitely true. There was a rumor that has been running around. We, in fact, started it on this little thing that we do here every night, a rumor that this radio station to which you are listening to now, due to a certain side frequencies that are being broadcast over this channel, is also broadcasting a strong aphrodisiac. So for those of you who, you know, just thought we'd warn you, you never know. I got a note from a listener type. He says, Dear Shepherd, he said that we in our physics class have been discussing this rumor, which you discussed briefly on your show, and we've come to the conclusion that this is possible. In fact, it is highly possible, considering what's been happening in our high school recently to certain people who listen to you. So in fact, of course, we don't want to go into that. There may be listeners tonight. He said, however, he says, I'm going to watch very carefully and see if there's any change in my own life. I'm listening steadily. Results should be interesting. He says, imagine taking a girl out on a date and then turning on your station and zap, she is in your power. We don't want to say this is part of our public service broadcasting, which we would you please give me a little salute to public service in there, Maddie, please, if you will. Yeah. Well, bring it up to me. I'm just clearing the pipes. Yeah. Hello. Ah, boo. We're in a big one. I think I'll do a little head thumping tonight. Would you like that, huh? That's enough. Was that kind of nice? Not bad. I like to get the work into the week slow, you know. I like to break in things slow. Like for example, any good professional athlete will tell you, you don't go out on the field and go all out the first 30 seconds of the game. You just don't. You play your cards right. You husband your strength and you feel out the opposition. Well, that's the way it should be with weeks. In fact, I know some guys who don't do more than maybe 8-9 minutes of work in an 8-hour day on a Monday, getting the feel of the week, see? And then by Tuesday, they start letting out a little bit. You know, they maybe do 20-30 minutes of work. And by Wednesday, no, you've got to definitely pace yourself. And by Wednesday, they may do as much as an hour. And then, of course, by Thursday, they're already tapering off for the weekend. Because you know that weekend shock and the, you know, stopping work is a big shock in a lot of people. And by the way, tonight we've got so many things to do here. It's a shepherd. Oh, listen, a question. I have to raise a question here before we get deeply involved in tonight's story. I didn't know I was going to be on the Steve Allen Show. You know, I have a letter from a kid here. Now wait, I didn't know either. So you're clear on. Today, I saw you on the Steve Allen Show, and I wish to say you were very funny. I was expecting to see a bald guy with glasses. I was completely impressed at your appearance. Well, yes, indeed. Okay. Well, I'm just impressed with that. That's a nice thing to say. I mean, even if it is... I've always been a little suspicious of guys who sign their name Dickie. I put a little flour where the, you know, instead of dotting the I, they put a little flour over the I. I'm a little worried about that. It says, P.S., I'm a boy. That worries me there very much. I don't know what's going on. Did anybody else out there see the Steve Allen Show? I don't know. Anybody else? What time was it on? You know, that was recorded last fall, for crying out loud. That's the terrible thing about taping shows on television. Oh, no, you can be, you may show up 3 or 4 years after it's been taped. And can that produce a lot of problems? So I don't know. Did anybody see it? Now let's see. What are we? We're clearing out. We're taking care of all kinds of little things that are detrimental to peace of mind here. Oh yes, we'd like to salute Winnipeg, Manitoba. I would like to salute Winnipeg, Manitoba. You know, Winnipeg, Manitoba rarely rises above 47.5 degrees below zero out there. I'm telling you, man, there are a lot of well diggers around up there. The only day that I spent in Winnipeg, Manitoba, I remember, it was so cold that day. I mean, I couldn't believe it. It was just unbelievably cold. And I went past this shop. It was an old antique shop, and he had an entire window full of brass monkeys. And I was thrown by that immediately because I've never seen a window full of brass monkeys. And I went in, and sure enough, there they were all sitting around, all those brass monkeys, and they were talking in such very high voices. And that's how cold it gets up there. It's a fantastic place. And we'd like to salute Winnipeg, Manitoba, because you never think of Winnipeg as being, you know, such a fantastically swinging place, but I quote an Associated Press bulletin out of Winnipeg. A sociology professor says many of Winnipeg's better class, let's put it this way, ladies of easy virtue are happy suburban housewives who are just merely helping out with the family budget. And it says most of the husbands don't even mind at all. Professor William Morrison, head of the University of Winnipeg Sociology Department, is conducting research into, that's not exactly what he's conducting a research into. All of you people with bad minds, you're wrong again. He's conducting a research let's put it this way, commercial fun. With a price tag on it. He has a $2,500 grant, which he says he uses to cover his office expenses and to pay the ladies when he interviews them. They expect to be paid for everything they do, see, so he pays them. And the grant is from a big government body up there. What is being done in the name of grants today is fun. I mean, anybody who doesn't have a grant ain't swinging out there. You ought to be. I got a grant. Oh, yeah. Rockefeller Foundation grant, I have. And if you don't have a grant, friend, you're just not in it. You know, all of us grant holders get together once in a while and sit and complain and compare our grants and all that. So it's kind of nice. And anyway, he reported that more than 50 ladies of easy virtue he interviewed said that they were happily married and had families and everything was groovy at home. Some said that their husbands know what they're doing, these ladies, but they don't mind, quote, because it brings in more money and supports the family and... You know how that is. His study has centered on, girls who usually accept appointments only on recommendations of a previous client. These are not ladies that hang around doorways. Oh, no. These are high-class types. And, quote, these girls all believe that they are doing a genuine public service to society. And it's all, you know, it's like the Red Cross, the USO, various other agencies that bring solace to people. And they're doing a public service. Business is usually conducted from the home during the day, on appointment only. He says the ladies who are married are often that their children know what business they're in. My mommy's going out this afternoon. So you didn't know that about Winnipeg, did you? Well, it gets very cold up there. Not much else to do, you know. It's really not much else there. Because there's no skiing when it's 50 below zero. That's for the birds. And so tonight, we would like to salute Winnipeg, Manitoba. Moving ever upward and onward with the arts, please, if you will. Come on. Hit it there, please. Winnipeg, Winnipeg, Winnipeg.
up or down we'll go, over the hump to the to the snow, the ice, to Grandma's house, where Grandma's out on the job. Oh, when the pay... Oh, hold it there, hold it there. How is that? That we don't have... No, I was taking the wrong attitude. You know how I am with attitudes. Would you please... yeah, we got a couple of money dingers here. Hey, would you like to try a really different reading experience? Try Dirty Burks. No. I'm sorry. It says, would you like to try... We better start from the top. Who's been writing stuff on my copy? I sound like the biggest bear. Who's been writing stuff on my copy? Can you imagine Little Red Riding Hood? I'd like to sneak in and write some real sneaky stuff on a couple of guys I know around here that are copy. You know, guys that just read the stuff cold. Who's been writing on my copy? Would you like a really different reading experience? Try Quintolingo magazine. It's the magazine that talks your language. No matter whether your language is French, Spanish, German, Italian, Russian, or English, or New Jersey. In Quintolingo, the articles and jokes and anecdotes are printed in English with foreign language translations right beside them. And you can sit there, you know, and learn the language that way. Got a lot of great jokes and cartoons and stuff, classic stories and stuff. So, if you would like to find out about this, call 247-5353 right now, and they'll send you your introductory copy of Quintolingo. 247-5353. Dump, dump, dump. Hey, did I ever tell you about the time when I got sucked into a thing? I mean, nothing to do with what I've just been talking about, friends. Oh, I'm sorry. No. I got hung. You go through a certain phase in your life when you're fascinated by the idea of being able to talk another language. Everybody goes through this. And that you buy a book or you buy a record, and the guy says, today we will speaking German. Now, I want you to listen carefully as I count. Ein, zwei, drei. That says now, one, two, three. Repeat it after me now. Ein, zwei. Well, you sit there after a while and your head starts to buzz, because after all, you're used to real stuff coming out of records instead of a guy yammering at you. And, you know, through the woofers and the tweeters and all. Well, I got sucked into a language one time. And me and Schwartz and Flick practically drove our mothers right out of our burdos. You see, I'm using that language. We heard about this language. And everybody was talking about it. And so we heard about it, and so we decided we were going to take the course. And you send in $1.95, I remember, which we three scraped together, and we sent in for the books, and we got a book of this stuff, along with a disc, big disc, you know, and on either side, and it had typical conversations in this language. Well, we started to talk. You know how kids do. In fact, I went through an entire year where I spoke nothing but pig Latin. And my mother used to get so bugged. I would say stuff like, "Uye, aren't we? Ude, go away, out way." And my mother said, "Oh, look, will you talk straight? I'm tired of that." She'd get flipping out of it. Like, there's another one. There's another type of pig Latin where you can say, you can put a syllable in the word. So you say, "Degatatskun." Or you'd say, wegat. You know what the word means? Wegat means? Wegat? Wegat dego, yego wegant. You know what that means? You don't! You mean to tell me that it still works? Well, we got so good at this language that I could actually translate, immediately reading something, you see, I could translate it into our own little pig Latin that Schwartz and Flick and I talked. Brunner always used to talk it, too. Like, for example, if I was going to read the news, I would say, Degas, Segas, Jegin, Shagerber. Egan, Vegi, Negus. Gegud, Negite. You follow it? You read any of it? All right. I'll tell you the language. This is WOR. Negu Yegork. Now follow it. Negu Yegork. Now can you translate it? Negu Yegork. I don't know whether the FCC counts a Pig Latin station break as a foreign language break. I'm sorry. But nevertheless, we got hung on this language, and we started to study it. And the three of us got so involved in this language that we would walk around and talk it to each other. And we never heard anybody else talk it. It was our own language, and it came in a book. And maybe that's what made it so great, because I think people go through a certain phase in their life where they like secret things, especially kids. I mean, there's hardly a kid alive who has not sent for a secret decoder pin of one kind or another. Now, why does he want the secret decoder pin? Well, it's secret. He wants a secret code. And I think this is probably a little more male than female, although I will not, I'll be inundated with letters from, you know, chicks saying that they did it too. But I will tell you this, practically every male that I knew at one time or another wrote stuff in invisible ink. Correct, Fred? Did you ever do that when you were a kid? And all this stuff, you'd write it with onion juice or something, and you light the paper, and you see the letters come out and all that. And this is there's a great lure of things that are invisible and secret and very private. So the idea of invisible ink, and I don't know whether girls ever write letters in invisible ink, but Schwartz and Flick and we went through this whole period where I'd write an invisible ink note. I'd say, "Here, quick, give this to Schwartz. Flick, quick, it's important." And Schwartz would light it with a match under it, and he'd read it. It would say, "I am going to the store. Destroy this quick, instantly." And Schwartz would destroy it. And you go through this phase of wanting to be secret. And I think that this is very closely related to the same desire, or an allied desire, of wanting to see through things, be invisible, see through walls. And when guys grow up, they start bugging stuff. You know, guys get involved in bugging. And also with the telescope out the window. This is all closely connected, of course, with the peeping Tom syndrome. You know, they rarely find a peeping girl type. That's true. No, that's quite true. Peeping Tom is almost exclusively a male province. They rarely catch some chick, you know, hanging by her shoes, you know, hanging by her fingertips, peeking into somebody's place. But that is a male thing, and practically every male I've ever known at one time or another has, secretly thought about going into full-time peeping Tom. You know, instead of just fooling around with it, want to take a correspondence course and all that stuff, get yourself a pair of climbers, you can climb up the side of a house and have these see-through spectacles that you strap out of your head and the whole bit. And I just don't think many women or girls ever did that stuff. And so Schwartz and I were speaking this language. And it was a great thing because it was very private, the language. And I got pretty good at it. Los Burdos, I was speaking that. I still remember some of it. Adue ve Los Burdos. You know what that means? Well, I'm not going to tell you, but it's a secret language that Schwartz and I spoke. Have any of you ever heard of Esperanto? That was the language. Well, you know, I thought it was just some kind of a little trick or something. And we learned this language, and one day Schwartz and I are sitting on the bus talking this language back and forth at each other, and hollering our language, which was we learned. You know, kids can learn languages very quickly, and we learned this language, and we're yelling back and forth at each other, and all of a sudden a lady started to speak to us in it, and Schwartz was dumbfounded because it was our secret language. Schwartz is hollering something, "Ah, Los Burgos!" at the and the lady started to talk it. And that is the language. And for years and years, there's been all kinds of little little fanatical groups of people called the Esperanto Societies and the One Language Society. There was another one called or Ugg or Glug, some invented language. But have you ever gotten involved yourself, seriously? Have you ever gotten involved in trying to learn something that slowly the realization came to you that you are not talented? And not only that, you're totally backward. Well, that happened to me. No, I'm serious. I don't even want to talk about it because I had such a bad time. I one time decided to, this was in college, and I had the old catalog out. See, I don't think I've told this story. I know I haven't told this story. This was one of the worst things that ever happened to me in my life. I had this catalog out, and I'm going through the stuff. You know, I'm taking all kinds of courses that I figure I can, you know, whistle right through on a breeze. I wonder how many guys sitting out there are in the middle of a career or doing something in their life, which is their life work. And the only reason they are doing it is because it was easy to take in school. I mean, it was a snap course. I know one guy, I'm serious, I know one guy who became a famous minister here in New York City because that was the easiest courses that were available at the university where he went. Yes, theology. And he told me this, and he became very famous. He went through this whole thing, and it was easy, you know, just like some guys will suddenly find that they've got some kind of a talent for math, and they wind up being a math teacher. That's all. They have no... Oh, listen, I know many a guy that has taken a psych degree only because that was the snappy... You know, that was a true snap, and you could fake your way through. If you've got a loud mouth, and if you're very aggressive, and if you can cultivate a nervous look on your face, like you're always worrying and thinking about stuff, you'll get through any psych course without any trouble. I know, I've gone through several. So, yes, that's quite true. And so invariably, you'll find a lot of guys that are involved in some kind of cockamamie profession, quote, that they got into only because it was a whole bunch of snap course, and all of a sudden he winds up getting out of school, and he's got 9,422 credits in the band direction. And he couldn't care less for music or anything else, but it was a groovy course to take. You know, he could pick up 3 credits in a hurry, and the next thing you know, he's teaching guys how to play the bass drum all of his life, and he can't figure out how it ever happened to him. But I was sitting one day, terrible moment, just an awful moment in school, and I remember sitting with this girl Betty Underwood, and I was having a brief fling with this girl, you know, one of those moments when for some reason or other our lives were thrown together for this brief incident. I don't think I'd even recognize her now, but I remember her name, Betty Underwood, you know, there used to be a lot of bad comments about Underwood typewriters and all that stuff, bad jokes. And so Betty Underwood and I are sitting one day in the Red Rooster, and we have the catalog out. See, we're about to decide on the semester's problems. And old Shep's always the easy way out. Old Shep has always known, you know, take the easy one all the way. I was taking all his courses like ethics. And, I'm getting mousetrapped, by the way, with that one. You know, would say, ethics. I'd say to myself, ethics, 3 credit hours. Oh, that's not bad. Ethics, I know about ethics. I know how to, you know, I know. What is ethics about, huh? And she said, well, it's about, good and evil. That kind of stuff. That's, hell, I know about good and evil. That's no problem. I wouldn't even have to worry about that one. See, I just fill that one in. Take that one. Ethics. I remember another one called Classical Derivation of English Words and Phrases, 3 credit hours. So I took that. Oh, what a drag. We spent 17 weeks just discussing one word, camera. Went all the way back to the early Sanskrit and the caveman and everything else. Camera. It's derived from the early Neanderthal, which means give me the onion. In early Neanderthal, that's the late French Neanderthal period, which was the early derivation of the word camera, which later went into Sanskrit, Indic, Pitcairn, Glavnik, and Archieville. And then finally wound up, you know, camera, Yashika. That's the end of it. But nevertheless, I don't know what I'm telling you all these bad stuff about tonight. I got a lot of commercials to do. We got real business instead of shows to do. Like, for example, we have Rosetta here. Don't forget Rosetta, friends. You don't forget Rosetta. They've got this psychedelic window. You go out there and stand in front of the window and look at it. Rosetta Electric Company, New York's fantastic electrical supermarket featuring the latest in lamps, lighting fixtures, barbed wire, the largest selection of everything electrical, from lock nuts to burglar alarms. And there are, let's see, where's the address? 75 West 45th Street. They are, by the way, that's a good place to spend about an hour just fooling around. If you're looking for another place to waste your lunch hour in, friend, if you're in Midtown. It is, that's true. There's about 10 great places that New York guys, I'm talking about Manhattan types, waste their lunch hour when they don't have a lunch or something, and they can sneak out, and they don't have to go one of these jazzy French restaurants and expense account, and they'll sneak out, and they'll rush over to Chock Full of Nuts, and they'll be wearing their false face. See, they don't want it to be seen, you know. If it ever gets back up to the 23rd floor that some big top vice president and the agency is down there eating a butterscotch brownie, forget it, down at the Chock. So anyway, the guy will sneak in, he'll go to the Chock Full of Nuts and wait in line there, and he'll get his bowl of soup and have his brownie and his hot dog and his orange drink. And now he's got the rest of the lunch hour to kill. So what does he do? Well, there's a lot of places to go. One, Abercrombie & Fitch. About 28 million guys going to Abercrombie & Fitch between 12:30 and 2:30 just to kill their lunch hour. You agree? That's a great place to kill your lunch hour. And guys will give themselves a treat. And they'll hold it back. There's little metal things going on in your head. You say, I think what I'll do... I think today I will withhold until Wednesday when it's going to be a really bad Wednesday. I hear it's going to rain. It's going to be a bad Wednesday. We're having a sales meeting in the afternoon. Old Bullard's got a bad tooth and all that. So I will hold off going to the fishing section, which is always a great one to see, you know, all that great fishing tackle. I will keep that for Wednesday when I really need a pick-me-up. So what I'll do today is go to a ladies' sporting hats department. And to stand around, look at something dull. Now, Rosetta is one of those places. A lot of guys go to Rosetta on 45th Street. And incidentally, 45th Street is famous for what? No. Every one of you New York types know that what 45th Street is great between 6th and 5th. Well, that is the Midtown New York City Radio Row. Yeah, is that what you said? I'm sorry. Sorry, you're right. All those radio joints are in there. So a guy will make them all. He'll stand for a while and, you know, his jaw is slack. You can always tell when a guy's killing time. His jaw hanging, you know. He sort of looks at everything. Absolutely unselected. He'll go into Harvey's. He'll work his way west. So he'll start on Broadway or start on Fifth Avenue. First he's in Harvey's and he'll look around at the... Then he drifts out of Harvey's. Then he goes into Midway, you know. And then he drifts into Lafayette. And then he goes into Heathkit. And, you know, he's making the whole thing. Then he winds up in Rosetta, which is at 45th West. It's 75 West 45th, right before you get to 6th Avenue. Okay? Suggestion on how to kill your weekend. Now, let's see. We've done Quintilingo, Rosetta, and Datsun. Oh, we have a Datsun. Oh, yeah, we got a great new commercial. Oh, hey, listen, we got a really good commercial now. Big one. As you know, I'm a total car cuckoo. And, no, I am. I'm really serious. And one of the finest little automobiles that's been around for a long time, and believe me, I take cars seriously, and I'm not going to, you know, give you any jazz about them. I would like to suggest that if you're thinking seriously of buying a small car, you really should look at the new Datsun, which I think, dollar for dollar in that field, that particular small car field, is probably the greatest buy in the world today. Great little car. This is the 19... And incidentally, they're the only foreign car line that I know of, Datsun, that has a complete line ranging all the way from little pickup trucks. They got one of the cutest little pickups you ever saw in your life. Pickup trucks all the way down through very, very spectacular sports cars. The 240Z, which is not even on the market yet, which is causing a lot of talk in international circles. So before you make any decisions on cars, I would like to recommend you see the 1970 Datsun. Incidentally, they have a 96 horsepower overhead cam engine that will clobber anything in its price class. and you will still get 25 miles to the gallon. It's probably one of the safest automobiles ever built on a production line for a number of reasons. But we won't go into that because we've got a lot of commercials to do between now and the next couple of months, and we can get into some of that. But it is a great car, and there are over 30 Datsun dealers in the metropolitan area, right? And you can see anything from a two-seater sports car all the way on up. Do you know that Datsun is the number one truck manufacturer in the world, friend? Number one, numero uno. That's true. Anyway, in New Jersey, you can see them at Oxford Motors on Route 46, the corner of the East Patterson. It says Corner Boulevard. I don't know what they mean by that. Route 46, East Patterson, Corner Boulevard, whatever that is. You can also see them in Post Foreign Auto Sales, 667 West Boston Post Road in Mamaroneck. Or, if you prefer, Mamaroneck. I've heard it pronounced that way on the radio. But, okay, that takes care of it. One other thing we've got to do here, too, before we go any further. And would you could please give me an echo chamber? I'm going to sing a little bit there. W-N-C-E. Does that name mean anything to you? That sinister call letter. Well, W-N-C-E is the... Actually, it's the radio station of the Newark College of Engineering. And they are bringing Shepard over to Newark College of Engineering live. I'm going to be over there, yeah. And it's going to be Friday, February 20th. Now, we're doing this because a lot of people say, hey, well, you didn't tell me. I was glad you mentioned on the radio where you were going. Thank you, Rocky. Your little guest appearance there, my typical Jersey friend. And I will be there Friday, February 20th at 8 p.m., Newark College of Engineering, which is in, of course, you fool, Newark. And all tickets are $2.50 for the whole... And that, we had a great evening there last year. It was about a year ago. Wild evening over at NCE. And if the tickets are available by mail. They're available also outside. You don't have to go to college there to go. But you better write soon because they have limited seating there. And if you'd like to write for a ticket, it's Box 55, Box 55, NCE, Newark, New Jersey. I repeat, Box 55, Newark College of Engineering. Don't just write NCE down there. You know how it is, Newark. They have trouble reading anyway. It's Box 55, Newark College of Engineering, Newark, New Jersey. I hate to admit it, it is New Jersey. And the... zip code is 07102. Limited number of seats, so you better get right now and send a check for $2.50, and they'll send you a ducat back. A ducat. By the way, speaking of that show that we're going to do over at Newark College of Engineering, I got in the mail today, just sent by some listener over there, somebody wrote a piece in The Vector, which is a great name for an engineering paper, The Vector. But nevertheless, this kid wrote a piece in The Vector. And it was one of the absolute funniest pieces I have ever read, written about any of the work I've ever done. Isn't it? Truly, can I... You don't mind. Now, I don't want you to... I want to give you an example of the kind of writing that's going on in college newspapers currently. I remember when college newspapers were among the most dull reading imaginable. You know, like the biology class will elect, that kind of stuff. And listen to this now. I'm going to read this, and don't misunderstand. I hope you don't misunderstand why I'm reading this. I'm reading it to give you an idea of the kind of writing that you read in college papers today. This is something I've rarely done. But listen to this. In the basement of the center, this is, I guess, the school center, in the basement of the center, there lives, among other things, the biggest bulletin board that anybody has ever seen. In all probability, you haven't noticed it lately, because after the first 2 weeks or so at NCE, the whole scene in the basement changes, and you don't really see a thing. In my entire lifespan at NCE, I have perhaps glanced at that bulletin board about four times. The first three times were simply to check which wall didn't have the pool tables in it. But the fourth time was a different story. there I was walking along trying to look official and trying not to break into a spastic fit in the process. Whenever I try to look official, I start giggling. I can't help it. But anyway, as the bulletin board started to blend into the scenery along with the ashtrays and everything else, my eyes grasped one lone object that I immediately realized was to forever change my opinion of that bulletin board as a communications medium. There, in all its naked glory, was a blue and white poster with the words Gene Shepherd boldly adorning the top. I decided that this was it. To hell with my image. I walked right over to the poster, put my books down, and read it. Actually, read it. It seems as if good old Shep was appearing at a college in the area. This tidbit of information might not seem very astounding to a normal person, but let me assure you, to a true Shepherd fanatic, a personal appearance is pretty heady stuff. To appreciate Shepherd, all you have to do is to go to one of his performances, if you dare. Going to a Shepherd performance is comparable to attending World War II. You never know how it might change your whole life. And at his description, though, of the show. You want me to read it? No, I don't want to bore you with this I'm serious, because when you read a description, now how many of you people, now I'm going to ask you a question now, in your own work, whatever your work might be, how many times do you ever actually see a critique of you and your work written by somebody you don't even know? They sit down. Now, for example, if I were going to write down, the other day I worked with Matt Bayless. Holy smokes. Matt Bayless sits there like a, well, I'm serious now. What if somebody were to write a critique of your work? Do you agree that it would be a fascinating piece of reading material for you? This is one of the reasons why actors are continually intrigued by reviews. It isn't so much their ego, although that probably plays a part, because quite often an actor is more intrigued by a blast. Are you aware of that? I know some actors who don't even keep good reviews around. They're fascinated by blasts, and they've got a whole... I know one guy's got nothing but notebooks of bad stuff about him. I'll tell you who's one like that. No, he's fascinated by the other side when they really start, you know, calling him a real fink, and he's intrigued by that. I know one guy, a guy who is internationally famous, who keeps nothing but notebooks of bad stuff about him. He's intrigued by the bad stuff. You know who it is? Hefner. That the more people say bad stuff about him, the more amused Hef is. Oh, sure they do. But the thing is, they think it's going to get him mad. And he loves it. He's fascinated by it. But you want to hear what this guy goes on to say? Now, that's why I'm fascinated by this, because he's describing a performance. Now, I rarely see in college papers, they may tell you know, talk about radio show and so on, but they rarely talk about actually the experience of going to a performance, because primarily my first work that was ever done in the field of entertaining, and it's always continued pretty much that way, is live. I'm not essentially a radio performer. No, not at all. And so I'm intrigued by what people say about a performance, a live performance. And I won't read this to you. Just try to pick up a copy of Vector. No, it's a strange thing. You want me to do it? Well, everybody's bugged in there. All right. He says, okay. Going to a Shepherd performance, etc. After the first time I saw him at FDU, this is Fairleigh Dickinson, I walked around in a state loosely resembling shock for about 3 minutes. The first moment. Then I started laughing. I haven't stopped since. Says I can't describe why this is, or what he does that makes me constantly be amused at things I see around me. The second time I saw him was right here at NCE 2 summers ago. I was at a particular disadvantage back then because I wasn't an honest-to-God NCE student yet and still took myself seriously. For 2 hours or so, I just sat and laughed. Do you have any idea what 2 hours of sick laughter can do to those cheek muscles? That's right, pal. Only I'm loving it, and it only hurts when I stop laughing. Isn't that sick? I'm reading him here. He says, I'm really supposed to convince you to go and see Shepherd, but I'm not even going to try. The people who know, I mean really know, will be there. And if you're not there, well, you probably shouldn't be there anyway. And he goes on, a very interesting series of personal impressions. I don't know who he is or anything about him. His name is Ron Andretta, WNCE staff writer. Excellent. But now, of course, when you're dealing with writing. By the way, speaking of writing, and this is to throw in, since this is Monday and it's a kind of a throwaway show anyway. Oh, sure, everybody out there, you know, Monday, you're kind of dragged with Monday. It's a fact. No, it's a truth. Let's face it. Let's face it. Look, I got a notice. You are hereby informed that charges are being filed by the undersigned in New York State Supreme Court under the heading of slander. We are authorized by our client, Mr. Herman W. Dildock, President, Society for the Liberation of Oppressed Bums, SLOB, to inform you that charges will be dropped by the said party upon your retraction over the air of all statements considered libelous to the image of the American slob. Oh, I certainly never said anything libelous about the American slob, because when you say something libelous, that implies untrue. Absolutely not. I'll back up everything I said about that. I mean, as a working slob, I'll back up anything I said proudly about slobs in the past. Absolutely. I'm up. You're listening to a man who has probably clocked more hours standing in line at a Dairy Queen on Route 22 than any guy you know. And that's something that Johnny Carson can't say. Even Herb got up and ran out. He was so bugged at that one. Well, I mean, you know. But nevertheless, since it's, you know, Monday, you're throwing the show away or like that. No, you're not throwing. I'm saying that tongue-in-cheek. But we've been getting a lot of phone calls lately from kids who have written in over the past couple of months, or last month, really, about the press conference we're about to have. And it's going to be great. I'm looking forward to this thing with as much anticipation of, as anything that I think I've been involved in a long time. And it looks like now well over 300 schools are going to be represented. And it's really going to be a ball. All of you will be getting in the mail your press credentials. They're even going to send you a special press card, which we redesigned and wrote bad stuff on. So you're going to get, it's all going to come in the mail, and it will be March 2nd. For those of you who are wondering what it's going to be, which will be a Monday. It will be March 2nd. And it's going to be right here in Midtown Manhattan, and from the way it looks now, we're going to hold it, should I mention, at the Overseas Press Club. How's that for official? Oh, boy. And, it's going to be, I'll tell you, it's going to be fantastic. I'm looking forward to it. And, anyway, getting back, though, getting back to the world of the slob, I'd like to salute something out there. Of course, those ladies in Winnipeg who are still in business. After all, it's a very cold country, so I don't want any of you to write and say bad things to me about that, you know, say that I said bad things about Winnipeg. No, not at all. I think that's kind of nice. I think they should have a hobby up there. Now, after all, isn't that what you would call a cottage industry, Lee? Is that a cottage industry those ladies in Winnipeg are involved in? A home industry? Yes, of course. And I like to see people get a little hobby and at the same time earn a couple of dollars on the side. There's nothing wrong with that. And bring it up there, please, if you will. Thank you very much, Manny. It's been a kind of a short 45 minutes, doggone it. I mean, what are we going to do? Oh, here's a sad little note. I just received a note here. It's kind of sad. I think there's something that we should know, that there's a lot of changes going on. A kid sent me a lunch bag. For those of you who are males and you're grown up and don't know what's happening among the kids, you know, kids now buy lunch bags for their lunches to take to school. You know, they used to just put them in a brown paper bag, you put your peanut butter sandwich in, not anymore. They got a plastic one now, you can buy it. And here's a lunch bag that has on the back of it, it's got a little ad on the back. It says, change your boyfriend's face for $3. It says, send us $3 and we'll send you a gift you can put right under your boyfriend's nose. A real human hair mustache for $3. You can make them into a Fu Manchu type. You can make them into a David Niven type. And I thought about that, you know. Guys are in the hands of chicks these days, like putty. Now, you notice it didn't say, hey, fellas, change your face. It says, girls, change your boyfriend's face. Man, how'd you like to change your girl's face, huh? I mean, kind of mold her into Raquel Welch, or hit her in the beak or something like that. Well, you can try that. I mean, you know, 6-1, half dozen the other. In hoc, a curricular conch. By the way, the secret message was already sent out. If you missed the secret message, it was already put out. There was a clue in tonight's program for the $50,000 grand prize. So if you missed it, you've lost again. But for those of you who are winning, you're now in the semifinals. And the Chris Schenkel will broadcast.
This is Carol Reiter, WOR's astrologian, hoping that you'll tune in tomorrow morning at 6:40.